We had hopefully what you decided to claim you donuts. We know that was the main draw last night, the hit. It was good to have some discussion and take care of some of our business in closed session. But thank you for being here today. We do have two regents who are not able to be with us today, with Bob Prince and Wilford Clyde. But look forward to your engagement today. I know that we have Alex and Steve that probably need to leave about 2 o'clock, and then we have Bob and Harris that need to leave probably at 3. So, if we can get done, great. If not, please feel free to leave when you need to leave, and appreciate your commitment today. Thought I'd turn a few moments to Lorene to just take care of some administrative matters and coordination.
Oh, okay. First, housekeeping. Restrooms, there's one right here on this corner, same location downstairs. If we need additional during break time, there's restrooms in the other building that you're welcome to go over to. Two things I need, actually maybe three. I'm still looking for somebody who can attend the commencement ceremonies at Dixie. We don't have any regents representing us down there. So if you could look at your calendars, it's May 5th in the morning. If anybody can make that work, let me know. And what else was it I needed
May 5th?
May 5th?
That's a
or is it May 4th? May 4th. Hold on. Dixie.
Some of them are on
Saturday. It's May 4th.
Okay.
Sorry.
Friday at 9.
Yeah. May 4th at 9 a.m. Yeah? Okay. That would be fantastic. I'll let them know that you'll be attending.
She said she might be.
I'm trying to push it along.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
It's Friday. Friday. Yeah, I'll let them know.
Would you be sending a list of the commencement and who we're assigned to verify that?
Yes, to the institutions or to you?
To us.
I can send that to you. Yes. And I'll let you know where I have you going. Okay, so Pat, I'll let you off the hook. You can let me know later.
No, that's okay. Is it in the morning on the
floor? It's at 9 a.m. So it's probably, you'd probably want to be there around 8 o'clock. They have breakfast and the robing and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fantastic.
I'll be there.
Awesome, thank you. I also sent out an email to find out who would like to go to dinner next Thursday evening with our presidential candidates for UVU. I've heard from most of you, so just one last opportunity while we're here. If anybody wants to go and you haven't gotten back to me, let me know, and I'll add you to the list. I was assuming that you would go. Okay. I think that's it, Dave.
Any other points anybody wants to make before we appreciate the commissioner and commissioner's office for working to put this together today and addressing some of the things we think will be important to regents as we interact with the legislature and work on strategic issues. And so they have worked hard to bring this to us today, but we just want to make sure that even though there's a portion on each of these topics that's kind of information driven, we've left plenty of time on the agenda, and we'll make more time if needed to make sure that as regents we're just sharing ideas, concerns, thoughts about moving forward. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dave and those you've worked with. Okay.
Great. Well, thanks very much, and great to be with all of you this morning. And and of course, you've got a printed agenda in front of you. It was also on Milton Awards yesterday afternoon, I think. Just to kind of run through what we're going to do today, as Dan suggested, on each of these sections, I think we have five sections. There'll be an introduction. Some will be really brief. Some will be a little bit longer, a little more information, but we've tried to leave lots of time for discussion. We'll start by talking about the roles and responsibilities of the regents, and then the strategic vision of the regents. We'll have a lunch break. We'll go back downstairs for lunch. Then we're going to spend a good chunk of time this afternoon on the working groups. We'll be joined at that time by the staff leads who work with the working groups who weren't already here from staff. Julie Hartley, Jessica Miller, and Blair Caruth. Oh, and Megan Brown. Thanks, Kimberly. And so that's kind of at the heart of what we're doing today in a lot of ways. And then we'll have a short break, and we'll spend some time on communication strategy and give you an update on some things we're working on there that Melanie's working on in particular, and then some next steps. We do want this to be very informal, so even during the kind of presentation part, if you want to call it that, quote unquote, at the beginning of each section, let's keep it as a dialogue as much as possible. Originally, I thought I'd stand up and present, and I thought, no, I wanted to stay here at the table and just be keep it very much a discussion, and I'll be assisted at different times by different members of staff. I want to especially thank Spencer Jenkins, our chief of staff, who's really helped pull everything together for today, and all the staff. And thank you, Dan, for recognizing them. We've all worked very hard to try to bring together some materials and some ideas that we hope will be helpful to you, but we're really looking forward to getting your further direction and guidance and feedback on both kind of what we're doing and where we need to be going to make sure that we're totally aligned with all of the important things we have coming up. Let's see, as we get particularly to the portion on the working groups, we want to really be looking at what is most impactful of the many ideas that have come up during the past several months of the working groups that are measurable, that we can be focused on for the next year to 18 months, and then we can also align our communication strategy, our budget request, and legislative strategy, and so forth with. Okay, I heard you breathe, so he's got an answer. Sorry. All right, let's go into the first leg, which we're calling, I just want to take a moment to talk about the benefits of system governance. Welcome, Mark. I need to squeeze this a little
chair
bit.
Chair, right here.
There's a chair? Okay, all right, great. This was something that actually shared with the legislature a couple of months ago, but thought it would be a good beginning point.
We need you to come out of the tail. I want you to be able to see the screen here.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Okay. We're
a close-knit group.
Why don't we take that table and bring it over?
Mark, right over here.
Well, we certainly can if we need to. That's actually how we had it originally set up, but they didn't think we needed all the seats.
It's going to be a little... Yeah, I guess it will.
We can make it work.
The term system has been coined by a couple of different people. I heard it most recently by a woman by the name of Nancy Zimper, but she didn't originate it. But she was the president of the State University of New York, the state system of the State Universities of New York. But we wanted to share with the legislators, we thought it'd be a good starting point for us this morning on what are a few of the advantages of being a system. Because not all states have systems. Some have independent institutions that have their own board, and there's really nothing that really pulls them together, maybe a coordinating board, but basically each institution is on their own. Well, one of the advantages is that by being a system, we can develop a common agenda. That can include strategic objectives, a unified budget priorities that we submit to the legislature, hopefully a statewide focus on state important issues to the whole state. Second, we can have consistent measures, and Kimberly and her folks work very tirelessly with the institutions to make sure apples are being measured against apples and oranges to oranges, and that the definitions are correct, and that and this is no small task, but to make sure that we're looking, as we look across the system at different institutions, that the measures add up and down and across and every other way, that they're consistent. Third, opportunities for continuous communication within the system and collaboration and alignment within the system. This just illustrates a number of the consortial groups that we bring together as a system office from time to time to work on issues. And a lot of this is invisible to the regents, but as you come to the gateway, come up to our office, there's very few days that there isn't somebody up there having a meeting. And whether it's in student services or HR or purchasing or IT or You know, on the academic side, we've had a lot of what we call the majors meetings. Some of these are done in person, some over, we still call it EdNet anyway, over the
IP video.
IP video, okay, IP video on the screen, but where we bring together faculty from various disciplines to work on issues of how do we make sure things align and are transferred. Anyway, I won't go through all of those, but just there's a lot of this going on at the system level that is not always apparent, even to our own board, because it's just kind of happening in the background, but there's a real value to it.
Dave, as part of discussion this morning, and I think it'll be helpful for the regents as we work through this, is sometimes an expectation from legislators or others in the community that the system might be involved on a detail level with purchasing. Why don't you have a centralized purchasing department at the system? Why isn't it part of the regents office? And so, I mean, I think we need to make sure that we're all comfortable with where we are, which has been more dealing with policy and pushing leadership in some areas, but not getting into the, you know, we're going to do the HR and the payroll processing for all 80 institutions or something like that. But sometimes that's an expectation that some might have of a system.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about those kinds of things, but that's a great point. But even in those areas where we're not directly like running the HR for all of those systems, we bring the HR people together, or the IT, and this balance between kind of central and local, and that'll be a recurring theme this morning. Actually, that's a perfect lead-in, because this is that little point of the triangle, I think that's where I sit. Pretty much. We didn't add on your legislature, governor, we have like four or five ways, public, media, but the challenge, of course, is exactly this. Where do we get involved at a detail level and really manage things versus where do we, the presidents need to lead their institutions? And where is it, well, let's go to the next slide, kind of illustrates this. You know, so from the statewide side, generally, we look for the system and the regions to set a direction, to hold the institutions accountable, to the consortium groups that I mentioned, to be focusing on students and system state-level priorities, and to set the policy, of course, hire the presidents and hold them accountable, but let the, you know, recognize that the presidents and their teams need to lead the institutions that they, and they have their challenges. There's always limited resources, and many ways they're competing for students. Occasionally I'll get a call from the president saying, how come I'm seeing the bus go by with an advertisement for the institution up the road from me, you know, in my town, you know, or things like that. They're all competing. While they're cooperating, they're at some level they're competing. They have sometimes a little different missions. They need to stay focused on their regional needs and the needs of the employers, in particular the workforce. And so we put that in perfect balance for the illustration, but sometimes that is a little more like a teeter-totter. You know, the things can kind of go back and forth. So I want to just pause there and kind of get your thoughts on what is the role of the Board of Regents in the system. What do you feel it is or should be, or are there areas where we've tipped a little too far one way or the other, or anyway, let's just start the discussion right there, and then I'll have a little bit more on this section to share. Let's open it up.
It's all a matter of perspective, right? I
mean, yes.
It's probably more what the perception is than what's really going on. And to some people, it's probably perceived that we have tipped the scale one way or the other, either not enough or too much. And so it's just going to always be a balancing act of trying to balance all the needs. But when you're trying to balance needs, it seems to me in organizations like this, having a clear, concise direction, being able to communicate that and being confident with that matters more than actually what you're doing. It's because they're gonna question you all the time, but if you can concisely and clearly tell them what the direction is and be confident with that and we're all on the same page with that, they're gonna question that a lot more. Because if they sense weakness or they sense that we're not unified in that, then those entities are gonna come at us from all the different sides. So meetings like this are really important to have us understand who are we, what are we trying to accomplish, what do we view our role as, and then confidently do it and say, you know, hey, you know, we allow institutions to do that. This is why we do that.
Right.
And you should go talk to the president if you have an issue about that.
That's great comment, Thomas, because the confidence and the coherence. to summarize some of what you said. That's great. Joyce, you also?
Well, along the same line, being clear and concise as far as our message or what our role is. Mm-hmm. And for example, if Utah State University is advertising in this county, in this area, and Salt Lake Community College or the university provides the same services, they have concerns. However, the University of Utah, they have they're increasing their standards for admission, so there is a lot of folks who apply and then they're not accepted. And then they just get a list, well, if you want, you can go here and here and here, but there's no follow-up. So I think if we can be helpful as far as clear and concise message, what we expect, if we have ability and authority to set policy that the institutions need to follow, such as our discussion with during our workforce work group. Part of that was what authority do we have and what can we expect from the institutions?
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, great comments. Yeah, other thoughts?
I just think, you know, last night when we talked about, you know, I really do feel that this issue of being able to establish those key strategic relationships, but our communication plan is essential. And I think about that education in and of itself is an important part of that. When you think about the legislature, the turnover, that, you know, we get all these comments about we don't have a strategic plan. And I shared last night, and Bob said, well, here, give me your address, I'll mail you one. You know, but we have, there's all this information and all the things we work on, but they aren't necessarily aware of it. And so we get things like concern about whether our budgeting is reasonable or understandable. And so I think that maybe being more proactive. In the past, we had legislative invites for them to come and join with us when we had, you know, our legislative session you know, with regents and trustees before the session. And maybe we just need to, we did away with that, but maybe we need to figure out a way to fine tune more legislative interaction and sharing. Here's the region role. Let's talk about the finances of the system. Here's the way we look at it, because they're not getting it somehow, so.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's so true, but it is really a continuous challenge. Because even those that you've, I mean, they have, particularly for legislators, and of course Pat knows this very well, I haven't been a legislator for a number of years, but they have so many things on their plate, so many things coming at them, that even if you've shared it with them once, particularly if it was a year or two ago, you can't count that it's really stuck, you know, because there are just so many cross currents that they're in.
Well, if we're not reinforcing our message, we have
to reinforce it.
Some of this, this last legislative session, part of the issue with presidential selection became local control. You know, with some legislators felt like everything should be at the local level. And so we just need to do a better job of educating why there are system benefits.
Yeah. I mentioned one thing that Spencer and I are kind of planning for. We haven't picked dates, but we did this a couple of years ago. There's going to be a lot of turnover in the legislature this year. There's a number of people that are not running for re-election. And so we're thinking of inviting all of the new legislators, and we'll probably invite before the November election and just say, if you're elected, you're invited to this, right? And do a higher ed 101 session where we could invite them in. You might remember that, Dan, from a few years ago. And I think it really did help us to, at least as they're first coming in, maybe a little bit more eager to learn and absorb and figure things out, to try to be one of the first ones telling them what higher ed is about and how we work before they hear from, you know, many other voices. But that's just one little example. But, and we'll talk, we kind of thought communications will kind of capstone things off on that a little bit. That'll be a recurring thing, I'm sure. But other thoughts on kind of the role of the Board of Regents and the systemness we want to inculcate on Pat and here?
Yeah, I think part of our role should be to help educate the public as to why higher ed is important and what value it brings to become personal.
Yes.
And I think there's a huge gap there.
There is.
Have an opportunity to feel.
Yeah, that's a great point. Oh, and by the way, you all hear the clicking in the background? I think I have at least three staff taking notes, so we will get pretty good notes from this conversation. So, yeah, thanks. Harris?
I'm just wondering, Dan, to your comment about, things that we don't do, I mean, are there utility roles or functions that we ought to think about as a system? Things like procurement and auditing and things. Now, are there kind of functions that don't really get to the heart of the differing missions and roles of these institutions that where we could actually really save some money? I mean, I think of procurement. I don't know what the procurement budgets are. They've got to be huge.
Sure.
And the one thing I know about procurement is volume, is purchasing power means a lot in terms of negotiating discounts. And as large as someone like the University of Utah may be, if you double it by adding the rest of the system, you're going to save money. And I'm not proposing it, but I'm thinking, is that something
there
we should be?
Some areas
are there some kind of very discrete kind of things like that that we ought to be? I think about cybersecurity and kind of the desktop environment, for example,
we're kind of neither fish nor fowl on that one either. Yeah. Where we have Steve Hess's half time for the system and half time for the University of Utah, but as you say. We talked last meeting about all these issues of cybersecurity and just upgrading our equipment and things. It seems like we're not effective as a system somehow in that process. So you're right.
So one of the challenges that you'll have to recognize too as a board is in statute, the institutions have been given liberty and authority to conduct those procurement pieces. So if we do go in and say these are things that we should have more system control over, it will require a change in statute, which then again, that balance between central control and local control will come into play.
Yeah.
So, but we do have, like Davis said, consortium groups. The IT and the heady one is probably one of the more stronger of the groups. It's just unfortunate that we don't get the funding to support them in their efforts. But any changes to day-to-day management and operation of the institution will likely result in a statutory change because presidents are given the authority in statute.
Right. But as far as just the concept go, I mean, the devil's in the details, of course. But if there were things that, if that was something the regents wanted to look at in the coming year, or are there any opportunities for shared service that would be doable, or what's the most doable, and that would actually be productive? That's certainly something we could delve into, just knowing that there's a lot of complications and issues, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't, if the board's interested, that we couldn't get into that and explore that more.
Another area along these lines is the legal piece. We talked years ago, I can't remember where we were, but Regent Zanger was really into, should we look at this as far as legal representation on each campus? That was at the beginning when we have the AGs piece that maybe isn't working that well for us. And what's our role as a system in that?
Yeah, and Jeff may want to chime in here, but actually that has evolved over the last number of years that while the Constitution designates the Attorney General as the legal counsel, with the Attorney General's permission,